All right, guys, it's your host, Lewis Blaine Anderson, with another Dying Breed discussion. It's been quite a while since I put out an episode, and I'll explain that in the podcast. I'll go into what I'm up to now, why I kind of took a little break, and why I'm getting back into it at this time. I've kind of revamped my setup. I've simplified a lot of things. I'm not really streaming or recording gameplay anymore, like on Xbox. That I'm just doing to like decompress from a day or just chill out. So I'm trying to focus more on the current business I'm running, which is my automotive business. That's Prophecy Performance. I'm doing regular maintenance, a lot of fab work, stuff like people would do like in the country. Like right now I'm doing a winch on a trailer, welding that on there, and then now wiring it up so it could be modular to the guy's rigs. Been busy just working on cars, getting back to my regular routine of just wrenching. So that's kind of ate up a lot of my time. Mom's business is booming. That's the Roundup Ranch. It's a bath and body company. You can find her on Facebook or Instagram under the Roundup Ranch. Also, her website is somewhere. I'll have to get it. I'll probably try to post it and a link so you guys can check it out. She's doing good. I mean, I just help her with the business side. I help her run the booths at the farmers markets that we have in town locally, and just trying to plan for next year, taking care of the animals. You know, that's always a challenge. I mean, they eat a lot, they drink a lot of water, keeping them going, getting prepped for winter. We're still building stuff. I mean, mom took down the pool today. I'm planning my shop and my house in the back now. Like, I have 3D designs of it drawn up in the computer. I'm trying to figure out when I'm going to order concrete in the spring. It's been wild. So I guess let's get into the recent stuff. I mean, the last episode I put out was August 29th. So a lot's happened since then. I don't really watch the news anymore. I trust that I'm better educated through looking for things myself, or things that I have triggered in my news feed of specific things I like to see. So, I mean, it's been crazy. I mean, everything is getting more expensive. We got ships waiting in the harbors. You know, the disruption in product coming in should be a wake-up call for a lot of people that maybe you guys buy a lot of stuff you don't need. Maybe we should try to be more minimalistic in our life. And I congratulate my generation and below, because they aren't so focused on buying a house or settling down or being rooted. They're completely okay with the lifestyle of you know, tiny house, you know, electric car, or living in a van and traveling the country and stuff like that. So I got to commend those younger folks, Gen Z, Gen X. Are they X? Or is that the older one? I don't fucking know. It doesn't really matter. The young cats out there, you 35 to 18 year olds right now, we're doing the damn thing. We have every single roadblock in our way trying to make a good life with greedy politicians and older people hoarding wealth. No race involved, just older people are holding on to the wealth unlike any other generation. So, you know, long live the few. You know, I mean, a lot of us aren't having kids. We're rethinking the way we want to leave a legacy. You know, there's some people that would rather plant trees than have kids. And, you know, I respect it. You have to respect that. So shout out to you guys. Much love. Man, there's a guy in Norway, right? So I'm on the web. I'm just surfing my little homepage on the good old Google. And this guy in Norway killed 5 people with a bow and arrow. Now, when you think about this, when you hear about like mass shootings and blah, 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 guys have ARs, guys have Glocks and stuff like that, and they kill like 2 or 3 people in like a large crowded area. This dude murked 5 people like Robin Hood. like, when you think about, like, after you plug the first person with an arrow, right, and there's people around, you would think the next couple people are like, what? I mean, maybe they were in shock, like deer are in shock when you hit them with an arrow. I've seen arrows hit deer and elk so hard that they like hop up and just kind of stand there for a second and then gush and blood collapse because they couldn't even put together what had happened to them. There's no noise. But there's not a whole lot of details being released about it. Obviously, they don't want to promote the fact that five people got murked by a bow and arrow while they're arguing that guns are the problem and it's not people. You know, there's just, and you know, I've realized how much like some media are in people's business. It's just disgusting. Like the TMZs and, you know, a lot of New York Times and stuff like that, they really try to make profit off of people's sorrow. And it's just, it's a foul way to make a living. I mean, I really hope that anyone who ever listens to this podcast in the future or right now, you know, whether it be 20 years from now, 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, you guys are digging through archives and you find this for some reason, do what you love to do. Fuck everything else. I don't care how much money it pays. I don't care if you've been, if it's a relationship. I don't care if it's your parents and they're not serving you. Not in a way that's selfish, but not in a way that's bringing you up, right? So, like, there's a difference. No one is supposed to make you feel like anything, bad or good. It's not their responsibility. Now, they can. It's, you know, everyone has a right to treat people how they want to be treated, but you have to put yourself in position to be where you thrive the hardest. Now, I don't always want my parents or my parent or a girlfriend or a brother or whatever, a family member, whatever, to always be in a positive zone, because maybe I need a kick in the ass, right? Maybe I need some motivation to do something that I'm afraid to do or that I've been putting off. See, but that's a beneficial way of someone being encouraging. That's not being mean, you know, or being nasty to you. And I really think that a lot of people need to divide that up in their own head and in their own lives and realize that not everything someone says to you that it sounds negative to you is negative, you know, or doesn't sound happy or progressive is negative. So that being said, you have to find people that serve you. If you don't work well under pressure, fine. Don't have friends or family that try to put you under pressure to produce. Find the people in your lives who kind of coddle you. If that's your style, that's completely okay. But me, I like to be thrown in the fire and sent out to the wolves, and it makes me produce. So the whole point of this is find what you love, what you need. Everyone else is going to take care of themselves. And all you beautiful people out there who constantly put yourselves last and put people first need to stop today. Do something today to stop that from happening, because there are not many people who are going to put you before them. You have to find a mutual level of respect and input. You know, whatever you input is what you need to get out. And everyone says, oh, don't expect yourself from other people. You know, have low expectations of others, but continue to be you. No, that is what people say so that they continue to use you while they do nothing for you. And this podcast isn't even supposed to be like a self-help. It's just like basic stuff that we need to be told constantly. It's like showering. This is motivation. This is mind cleansing. But you have to do it often. You have to think about what is making me the best me. You know, where are you thriving? Where are you taking step forward? So what makes you smile? What makes you want to do the extra mile for someone? What makes you want to put your shopping cart back? What makes you want to cook dinner for your significant other or a family member so that they don't have to? What makes you want to fill up someone's tank of gas or pay for the person behind you? Or like, what gives you, what is the source of that? When you tap into that source, it's usually something either of a higher power, something we can't quite explain, or just that love. It's love. It's a positive feeling. It's a deep emotion. It's rooted in unity. Like, there's just so many things that could really bring it out in you. And I encourage all of you who get to listen to this to seek that out. You know, my mom always says, seek first God's kingdom. And I believe her, because for me, there's just things that happen in your life or that you can see in the world that you know couldn't possibly be done by the hands of man. Whether you believe it's aliens, whether you believe it's a god or multiple gods or angels or demons or whatever you want to call whatever's out there, there is another hand playing in our lives. And I feel like as soon as we realize that there is things infinitely more powerful than us, very close to us in the same atmosphere, I think it makes you feel the way you're supposed to, a little bit smaller. The world's a little bit bigger. The universe is a little bit bigger. You can look at people with a little bit more humility. And there's one thing that Joe Rogan says that I love. He says, after getting this fame and dealing with people, what I had to learn to do was every time someone's doing something that pisses them off or that's not, you know, being a good citizen or being wasteful or whatnot, he says he looks at that person as a child or a baby. He said that's someone's baby. At one time, this adult, this murderer, this drug user, this junkie, whatever you want to call them, they were a child. Like they were innocent. They played and had no care in the world. In this world, this system that we live in, afforded them certain choices, whether they made the right ones or the wrong ones. But I don't think a whole lot of people really just set out to be bad people. I feel like some lose hope, they lose faith that things are going to get better, that they can be anything. I mean, they're told they were nothing. I mean, we have to think about the outliers and the minimal percentage of people who just have a bad draw card. I had a wonderful mother. I didn't have my dad much in my life as a kid, but he was around enough. I knew of him. He was a presence. He was, he had lore to him. But she made the decision to take certain life lessons into the hands of children at an early age, letting us know, like, you have a lifetime to make good choices, but you have one time to make a bad choice. And every time as a child, when I was about to do something for the most part, that kind I was questioning, that line would play in my head. Her voice would play in my head. And then I'd be like, fuck, no, it's not worth it. And I would save myself the trouble because my mom cared enough to know what young black men would do in a certain neighborhood. Now, I got in trouble, never really with the police when I was younger or anything like that. So thank God for that. But, I spent a lot of time avoiding the big crashes, the big falls, the big hurt, because I had those voices of reason in my head. I feel like we should really encourage people in our lives to go back to those earlier beliefs, those early lessons in life. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Now, some people don't want to be treated well. They want to see the world burn, and they're okay with burning with it. Those are the people we have to avoid. It's not easy to tell who's good for you and what's bad for you. How many men, like, I want you, if you're by yourself, just have this exercise. Raise your hand if you've ever been misled, mistreated, or abused by someone you thought loved you. Every person listening to this podcast probably just raised their hand. So you have some invisible brother and sister around the world agreeing with exactly what you're agreeing with while they listen to that piece of the podcast. It's not your fault. We have to stop blaming ourselves for dealing with shitty people. Have I been a shitty person to someone? In their perspective, I'm sure they have. I don't do things maliciously. I don't try to cause problems. I don't like to cause problems. I react disproportionately to people causing problems, and I can admit that. I will go the extra mile to destroy you if you bring me a problem. I will put all my energy and all my time ripping you apart and putting you through a blender to pour you down the sink if you cause problems for me. That was old Lewis. And that left a reputation on my name, which is fine. Like, that's what it was. I didn't know any different. Well, if there is a problem, you solved it. If someone had a problem with you, you handled it. And a lot of people didn't operate that way. A lot of people wanted, like, this fake clout of being in turmoil with another person and have everyone talk about it for weeks and it be a thing. And it be awkward when you guys show up to the same bar party and they have that, you know, it's just, it's a big masculine energy type thing where it's not conducive to anything at all. And I think we have to accept that being violent is not cool. It's not fun. It's a last resort, and people play with it like it's not. You know, being loud or yelling or raising your voice, getting aggressive should be the very last thing you do to get a situation solved. You know, because all it does is it heats up emotion, it heats up people's adrenaline, their ego starts flowing. There's people around them telling them to do certain things or not, and it's all kinds of stupid. So, like I said, do what you love. Avoid the things you don't. You know, hold on to good people in your life and let go of the people who aren't. And that's going to take some hard lessons to figure out. Not everyone has it easy. Not everyone should have it easy. We're here having this human experience for a reason. We're reporting back to someone eventually. I feel like I truly feel like each of us were chosen to live the life we live in the body we're in, to find out what this whole thing's about. And maybe that's the purpose of life. We're not the experiment, we're the scientist. We're recording the data. This is all, maybe, you know, you, what if when one day when you die, that's you waking up from this dream or some VR in another place. And that was just your assignment. This body was your assignment. This pain, everything you experienced was an assignment. You write your report, you get sedated, and you're into the next one. You know, it's completely possible. We have no idea the limits and technologies that have came before us or that are ahead of us in time. But there's no point to dwell on it. People are like, oh, we're in a simulation, or man, the aliens are controlling stuff, or there's reptilian people ruling the world. No, does it fucking matter at the end of the day? At the end of the day, is this reality or is it not? Do you have to eat to survive here? Yes. Do you do that in your dreams? Do you have to piss to relieve yourself here? Yes. Do you do that in your dreams? Do you go to work in your dreams and collect a paycheck in your dreams and pay taxes in your dream? Do you drive a car from one destination to another and remember the drive in your dream? Do you feel hugs in your dream? Can you taste in your dream? You know, like what we're trying to make so complicated is so simple. This is our base reality, regardless of what people want to say or can try to prove through these stupid methods. This is our one shot. Live it like you love it. It's so much easier to be positive and be loving, even if someone's being nasty to you. You know, maybe you're having a bad day. I hope your day gets better. They could be yelling and cussing. What are they going to do to that? What is someone going to say to you when you're like, oh, well, if they're like, oh, fuck you, blah, 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 you cut them off on accident or something like that. Or you took their parking spot and they're yelling, so, you know what, you're probably having a worse day than I am. You know, or why is it, so even if you were there first, you know what, look, I can tell that you need this parking spot more than I do. Let me move, you can have it, I'll find somewhere else to park. Being the bigger person before it gets to the point to where you have to is the ultimate flex. Guys, I'm telling you right now, go find a girl, take her on a date. And if you find the chance to give someone that one up, give them that life token. In front of her, you're getting some pussy. She's gonna date you, she'll love you forever because you show empathy, emotional intelligence. That's what most women are looking for. You think these fuck boys are going to end up married and happy with kids and a white picket fence, or someone who loves them is going to hold down them? No. They're eventually going to end up alone. They're going to be that guy. You know, right now, if you've ever been to a bar, there's always that guy or girl who goes to the bar every night, or at least every day you're there. They're always telling stories. They're friends with everyone, but you know deep down they're lonely. They have no one to go home to but maybe a dog or a cat. Maybe a family member. They're usually not doing too well in life because their priorities never lined up. Now, that's exactly what the fuck boys and fuck girls of today are going to be. They're going to be 40-year-old bitches in the club with all their friends, trying to get young dick, trying to get old dick, trying to get their bills paid, while you're sitting at home with your wife or your husband or however that works for you, your significant other, watching Netflix, eating popcorn, talking about what you're going to make for dinner tomorrow. It's the simple things. People are the prize. Sharing an experience with someone else, loving someone else is the prize. Love is not easy. Love isn't like the movies. Love isn't, you might not even be attached or with the person you love. You might love someone to death and never be able to see him again, never be able to talk to him again, never be in the same room, but that love is still there and you still have it. You don't need two people to be in front of each other or to be around each other all day to have love. And that's okay for you guys to understand. Everyone has to come to it in their own fruition. But at the end of the day, you can love a car, you can love God, you can love celebrities or whatever. Why can't you love yourself first? And that is the point of that whole entire segment. Put yourself first, but not in a way that makes you a narcissist or selfish. I had to learn the balance. I always put myself first because I thought what I was doing was more important than what other people are doing. Most of the time it was, but that's not the point. The point is I couldn't filter out the times where it wasn't. I couldn't figure out when I needed to take that one up and give it to someone else instead of chomping down the mushroom like Mario. You have to learn that giving, not just material wise, is the highest form for most people of love. The love language could be, acts of service, quality time, touch, whatever. But at the highest epitome of life, it's always about giving. It's a transfer of power. It's a transfer of time. It's a transfer of touch. It's an exchange. Even if there isn't anything coming back. So if you're the one sending out the direct deposits, it means you have the bank that's full of stuff to send. And that's a blessing in itself. So I'm going to try to keep this podcast pretty short. I know, you guys listening, I appreciate it. You have so many other things you can be doing. I have 5 questions I like to ask people. And I figure if I'm going to start asking people, I should answer them first. So the first question is, what are the 3 things that you would change to affect society in the best ways? And I'm going to try to answer this quickly. 1, I would dissolve the governments in the entire world. And I would restructure them in a way that was like our forefathers constructed America. Excuse me, the Constitution of the United States. I would make it so every world can, because the one world government thing is a hot topic for people, but I wish that the people actually had the power. Politicians weren't paid the way they are, because it used to be a volunteer act. It would be an act for your country, not for self. So I think it would be conclude that I think it would be pretty much to take greed from the government, to be specific. Take greed out, like not make it even a playable option in government or any kind of rule of mankind. Because think about, like, what did God do? Say if you do believe in God, you read the Bible. What did he do that was so bad for himself? Like, really, when you think about it, I just want you guys to think about it. What did he do that was so bad, like you see now, for himself? And that was a shitty way to answer that question, because that was 3 things that I wanted to do, but honestly, that's the only one. Okay, for the world, I would say, I have 2 more. This is happening in real time, so I didn't think. I thought about it before I had my answers, and I changed it. So, greed from the government. 2, I would make it so that the capable minds would be able to work in any field without worrying about money, without having to worry about rent or car notes or taxes or anything like that. I would make the people who can really push humanity forward, there would be like a special access program for the best of the best to just do like what Elon Musk is doing. Blank check. As long as, you know, there's proof of work and you can continue to turn in progress in your specific field or project, I think you should be one of like America's heroes, just solely working on the progress of humanity. And three, I think I would restructure the legal and the jail systems and the prison system. So pretty much the whole legislative branch would have to get changed from the top down, including police, jails, prosecutors, district attorneys, like the judges, the Supreme Court, all of it would have to be rebuilt from scratch, from the minds. And everything I'm saying, anytime I'm talking about breaking it down, building up, is from the minds of the people. Get the people together to have a conversation, like a big ass podcast, how Joe Rogan does it. Talk to someone who's, you know, different people in the same field and get all their talking points. You know, get everyone, you know, even regular people who have good ideas. There's probably a soccer mom who he's may not even seen a lot of crime, who's saying, well, this would probably work in my neighborhood if we just did this. And it'd be a great idea that would work. I would get the people involved. So one, I guess it would be, let's do it this way. One, restructure the governance of all of our lives. Two, restructure, the progression of humanity, I guess I would call it that. That's the easiest way to say it. Restructure how we progress, how we get progress for humanity. And three, I think we would have to, I think we should take away the idea of equality without equal input. So I don't think everyone should be rich if you don't work like a rich person should work. I don't think people who are rich now who don't work well or work hard and getting their money off the backs of poor people should no longer be rich. I think we should reshuffle that based on how hard you truly work. Not like you, so an iron worker is going to work harder than, say, a salesman physically, but the mental toll. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying people who put in honest work, people who keep America going, truck drivers, farmers, doctors, you know, EMTs, police officers, military, gas station workers, you know, UPS, USPS, all the essential people, you know, I think should truly be more comfortable than they are now. And there you go. Are aliens real? If so, what are they? Aliens are definitely real because the definition of alien, look it up, is pretty simple. I think they're just angels and demons. And I truly don't even think there's such a thing as demons. There's angels, and then there's angels who chose a different side. I wasn't there when it happened, you know? I wasn't there when those entities, whatever you call them, had their war and why they disagreed. Maybe there's some good points on one side that I didn't hear. That either way, the big man upstairs didn't want to hear either because it wasn't part of his plan. If he created it, end of story kind of thing. So it's your basic revolt. Really, when you think about the whole story of God and everything else, from the inception of it, it was, you know, we are his product, his creation, and there were people in his company, say, you know, God Inc., who didn't want things to go a certain way. They revolted from the internal out. They had a big war or litigation or battle for control of the company. So they split, you know, the devil went his way. God continued to run his way, but they're still kind of in the litigation of control of the earth or whatnot, you know. And, you know, Jesus was sent to be a messenger, or maybe what would you call it, like a middleman, and he was executed. So like literally killed the messenger. And so I just think that there's so many more simple explanations for what people try to make hard in the Bible and history. Easier ways to explain things. I mean, why would there be a bunch of other shit? Like, there's already a really good idea. I mean, there's certain bones that we found. There's giant bones that we found that line up with certain stories and blah, blah, blah. And oh, they can do this. They can move at this speed. They're so smart. The pyramids, Stonehenge, all this stuff that makes sense but doesn't make sense. I mean, we could all just say, fuck it. Who has to be right? Absolutely no one. They're angels. They're demons. They're out there. They're doing their thing. Those are the aliens. Poof. Call it a day. So where do you want to be in 5 years? I want my shop built. I want a race car done. And I want a tow rig. And I want to be doing well enough where I can take time around and do like drag racing all across the nation. Rocky Mountain Race Week, Texas 2K, import face offs, that kind of stuff. That's all I want to be able to do. I want to work hard on all the off season time. On other rigs, my rigs, doing my other side projects, and then just have a super nice wife. I mean, I don't necessarily want a hot wife. I want a cute, adorable human that makes me want to hug her every time I see her. Hot's different. Hot's like, damn, like, man, I gotta bang her before I go to work. No, I want to kiss her on the forehead. I want to get her coffee. I want her in fuzzy socks. I want her just being a nice, genuinely nice, lovable person, super positive, upbeat, just life loving gal. Like, fuck all that other shit. I've had the bad bitches in my life and they're fucking trouble, they're a headache. You know, the girls with the big booties, big teeth, the triple threat, right? I don't care. Be cute, be loving, be joyful, be cheery, bubbly, and I'll take care of you for the rest of your life. I want race cars, my shop built, my mom's business to be doing well. I really want to see that. I want to see her, you know, now being a landowner, a business owner, you know, she's doing well. And it's just all I've ever wanted to see my whole life. She worked really hard to take care of us, and she deserves the world. So I want to definitely see that. Have you ever been truly in love? Why the fuck did I? Yes. Why did I ask that question? I have. I've only been in love once, though. And, what sucks is you, even if you knew me in the back in the day, you won't be able to, you might know who it is, you might not. I can honestly say it wasn't the mother of my child. So there's that. Moving on. I touched on this on my what would you change thing. If money was no object, what would you do for a living? I would be a biomedical robotics engineer. I truly believe that eventually man will have to merge with machine to survive. I just think that we're gonna get to a point with either the weather or cataclysms, solar flares, maybe a new predator species is evolving somewhere that we don't know. At the pace we're inventing technology, at the pace other countries are trying to invent technology and arm their soldiers and space travel and all that stuff, I think we're going to have to merge with technology and machines to be able to accomplish what we want to accomplish for the future and our generations. Some people think it's a scary thought. I don't think we're too far from it now. I mean, you have a robot in your hand or in your pocket almost all day, every day. You're surrounded by technology. The only thing right now, like Elon Musk says, is we communicate with it very slowly. And Neuralink, which he's working on, is supposed to speed that up. I believe in him. I believe that he's going to do it for the right reasons. And then it's going to be taken and evolved by another entity, government, or corporation stealing patents. To make it something that it shouldn't have been. I think that's inevitable. I think with anything that we create new that's groundbreaking, there's terrible things that happen with it, be the internet, vehicles, you know, anything. There's good and bad, and that's just how it goes. So I try to name the episode while I'm making it, so then you'll see it in the clip later, and you guys actually got to formulate the process. So ending this episode, thank you for listening to another Dying Breed discussion with your host, Lewis Blaine Anderson. I thank you so much. I appreciate everything you do. I appreciate you living. I appreciate you getting up every day. And I truly want you to love yourself more than you love anything else. With that said, aliens are just angels and demons. Angels are just aliens and demons. Have a good night.